Alex Golish is just stacking win after win after win on the recruiting trail. Just scorching hot, white hot, but you can't touch him. He's just burning up every recruiting trail there is to find. And he's getting yeses. Yes, 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 yeah. Just yes all over the place. And he got two more yesterday, Zach, including winning a big battle for a four-star linebacker that Georgia wanted, Florida wanted, Alabama wanted him from an important talent-rich area in the Mobile area. So, I mean,
yeah, and he trolled Alabama, which is always nice.
It is nice. Yeah. Yeah. Trolled Alabama and trolled a few of the Alabama fans and his family that were there too. They got real excited and had to be told, like, he's not going to Alabama. I'll say that again because it sounds important. He's not going to Alabama. He's coming to
Auburn. I talked to some Alabama folks last night, and I'm like, that wasn't, like, y'all weren't in it, right? He's like, no, we hadn't heard anything about him in a month. Like, and I mean, we hadn't heard Bama come up with him either. So yeah. I thought that as soon as he picked up the Alabama hat, I'm like, oh, this is fan service. He's picking Auburn. And yeah, the fact that the family reacted that, I'm like, gotta talk to him about it. Like, I don't think he's been to Alabama in a while. Like, yeah. What?
Which, by the way,
I don't know.
By the way, why? Like, did they not go after him hard? Why would you not?
I don't know.
Or was there just no shot? Was there no? I mean,
I don't know enough about the context of the Alabama side of it to comment there.
All right, you get a top player in the state from the Mobile area.
Yes,
at a position where, you know, there might be an opportunity to slide in, and where there's undeniable coaching growth progression at that position over the last few years under DJ Durkin. So I mean, it's win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. There's two things that I don't want to get lost in this, right? Like, Isaac McNeil is an elite player. He can be an elite player day one. He is, you know, there are some guys that you talk about, like, this guy is different. He's on a different level. I think Isaac McNeil is that. I think he's that good. I've been talking about this recruitment for weeks as far as if Golish pulls this off, it's a big boy recruitment, and it changes how you have to talk about Alex Golish as a recruiter. I stand by that. What he pulled off yesterday, I don't think fans will realize it. I mean, I was on the phone with people yesterday afternoon. It's like, Kirby Smart is relentless. He is not letting this kid off the hook. It may come down to 5:59, you know, just minutes before he announced whatever. And then you saw, was it Wilt Fong? It was one of the national on three guys that put in a prediction. It's like, okay, all right. It seems like that's done. Yeah. But just talking to some of the folks close to the situation, like, this was a big, big battle.
Yeah.
But a few things I don't want to get a loss in it. One is, I don't want people to, like, take Isaac McNeil for granted because, like, it's just another name. This is not just another name. Let's be very, very clear. This is not just another member of a class. This is a class definer. I think he's that good. Another thing, I don't want people to forget about Kareem Palmer, the other linebacker in this class. This is a linebacker class that could rival anybody's linebacker class in college football because Kareem Palmer is also a part of it. Yes, Isaac McNeil is a massive part of it. Kareem Palmer, the upside and ceiling for him is tremendous. 4.340. I mean, every bit of clay that you want for DJ Durkin to be able to mold over the next 2 years before he gets going, you absolutely want that. So I don't want Kareem Palmer to kind of be swept under the rug and forgotten about because he's important. His stock is going to continue to rise, and it's important that Auburn keeps Kareem Palmer. Third thing, Aiden Wiggins yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that was only the most fresh story for a few hours.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty exciting addition. Not a class headliner, but a really solid football player. And when you look at how this coaching staff has kind of used defensive backs in the past, I mean, you look at a Gavin Jenkins, a guy who just kind of does the right thing over and over and over again, the South Florida kid that came over.
Yeah.
I think Aiden Wiggins is kind of a similar mold in the sense of, like, I think this is a guy who appears to be well coached. His technique looks solid. I think he's a really solid football player. And yeah. I think with proper coaching that we think that this team is going to get, I think Aiden Wiggins can develop into a guy that plays football on Saturdays in the SEC. Is he an elite, like all SEC player day in and day out? I don't think so, but he's a guy that makes your roster better. So I don't want that to be forgotten. Yeah.
Well, and I think some of those questions are still to be determined, because we still need to see what kind of development DeMarcus Van Dyke can put into guys or get out of guys. We still need to see how this staff, with all their intentionality and their plans, what does the development piece look like?
DVD is interesting. So I've talked to a lot of corners and former Auburn corners and families of corners about DVD.
Yeah. And that's your position of passion anyway. So,
yeah, no, and they know it. And so the kids' parents reach out to me because I talk great about their kids. I talk about corners a lot.
Yeah.
So, but there's interesting information with that. The way they talk about DVD is more of like a cornerback trainer. He's more like a trainer than a coach at times. And I'm like, okay. And I've had multiple people say that. And I'm like, is that good or bad? It's like, I think it's good, because the corner coach isn't really doing the scheme. The corner coach is making corners fundamentally better. That's his job. DJ Durkin's going to be teaching the scheme. DJ Durkin's going to be calling the shots on defense. But as far as like, especially if you play a lot of man, like you'd rather have a corner coach be more of like a trainer, focusing on the techniques and the footwork, hand placement, when to press, when not to. And I think that's something that I think Auburn is going to benefit from.
For sure. I don't know the distinction between the two. I mean, other than just what you mentioned, just having a hand in the scheme. Those other things are what I would consider a coach's responsibilities to make them better cornerbacks. No, but that is interesting that they, who are closer to the player, make that distinction. I think that's interesting. Yeah. So this class now has two elite running backs. You have two outstanding linebackers. I won't go through the entire class, but
no, let's do it. You have multiple solid offensive tackles.
Yep. You have a quarterback, you have a kicker, you have a receiver, you have a tight end, you have an edge rusher, a defensive lineman. Three quality offensive linemen, right?
So what's next? And I think edge is going to be coming up soon. I also think you're going to get a few more defensive backs in the mix. Yeah. I think that's not really what you just mentioned. And I think, I think that's coming.
All right. So yesterday, Alex Golish put out a single eagle. Was that someone who announced yet? Do you think that was one of the two that announced yesterday?
Yeah, I do.
So not part of the Magnificent Seven that went up over the weekend.
I'm not sold Wiggins or McNeil were part of the seven.
Oh, how interesting. They're going to wind up with 22, 23 kids in the class.
Well, I'm just
in that case.
So, I mean, let's go through this. Who could the seven be? Let's assume Wiggins and McNeil weren't part of the seven.
Okay.
Noah Ash. I think Nyaire Crum is one of them. Safety for Maryland. Nash Johnson III was one of them. Ryan Jackson, edge from Maryland. Kingston Miles, running back from St. Louis.
By the way, all these kids from Maryland, my ball restaurant idea, really neat. We could do crab cake balls. They would be a hit with all these Maryland guys coming down.
James Pace III, edge from Maryland. That's six. And so then the seventh could have been one of the guys that committed yesterday, or it could be them making a move for one of the better players in this class, either like a Joshua Dobson or a Tay Walden Jr. I've got a pretty decent feeling about Tay Walden Jr. I don't know why. It might just be hope. He's my favorite player in this class. Not just like Auburn targets. He is my favorite player in the entire 2027 class.
Well, so, I mean, look, when the staff hadn't swung and missed a whole lot, when they put someone in their crosshairs.
Yeah, it's just, is he in the crosshairs?
Right.
That's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question. Man, I mean, you talk about a corner cornerback class with Nash and Wiggins and if you got either of those guys, Palmer or Walden, that'd be insane.
How much does the pressure to join a growing class still exist? Like, if you see the train picking up momentum, you want to get on it quickly. So maybe you were going to delay an announcement, or maybe you're still thinking of, but now you see the momentum and you go, oh no, that's where I want to go too. I want to be a part of what's happening. Do you think that still happens a lot?
Probably depends on your status and stature of a prospect.
Uh-huh.
You know, like for Palmer or Walden, probably not. Mm-hmm. Because there's not a scenario where anyone doesn't take them.
Yeah.
It's like you could say, all right, we're only taking 22 guys and you'd be at 22. And they say, well, I want to commit. And they're like, all right, well, yeah, you're committed then. Great. Yeah. But some of these other guys that are kind of like, you know, maybe like seen as under the radar, or, you know, maybe more of like projects of, okay, we think we can get you ready by your third year.
Yeah.
For those guys, like, yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case.
Do you think coaches are more cutthroat today and say something like, look, we know we have a place for you if you commit before this date. If not, I don't know that we're going to have a spot for you.
So I think it's different now, right? Because it's a two-way street now. It's not just hey, do you want to come join us? It's, hey, we also have the ability to pay you or pay someone else.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's cutthroat, but I do think it's more finite now than it ever has been, because it's a two-way negotiation now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe the number changes the earlier you commit. Number's different if you commit earlier than if you wait.
Or like if you offer one of your headlining guys early, you know, $1 million.
Yeah.
Who's to say that $1 million is there after four or five more guys commit? It may not be there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very, very interesting, Donnie. A way to get a little leverage back in the game. No, I love it. I think that, I don't know, maybe we have this conversation another day because we have other topics to get to today.
Or maybe in the post show.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, don't forget, for members, for people who sign up for YouTube memberships, we're doing a post show for 4 of the 5 days a week, Monday through Thursday. Bonus content.
Yes.
From Zach and me.
You also get Afternoon Delight every afternoon with Kyle and Ben, as well as film breakdowns that are going to be dropping periodically over the next few weeks, breaking down film of all of these commitments that are getting in the boat.
$5 a month. That's it.
Yeah. So for how to do that, you click, make sure you're subscribed, and then that subscribe button turns into join, and then you'll see the different plans. And you get all that bonus content with the cheapest option. If you want access to the message board, you can do the message board option. It's a little bit more, and then Kyle will reach out with your account to log in to the message board if you want to do that as well.
Excellent. All right, so we'll do that. But the linebacker position, I think, is just about ready to pop for this team, so maybe we'll do that in the post show. All right, next topic. Super regional tickets sold out in about a minute and a half. There are no tickets. I'm getting requests for tickets from people who haven't asked me for baseball tickets ever.
Who'd you give them to?
I don't have them.
Oh.
You don't have
staff tickets this weekend?
Nope.
Because it's an NCAA, it's a neutral site?
I don't have them.
Got it.
So I say that, and I bring that up not because I'm a jerk and I'm like, don't ask me for tickets, but just to show that the demand for this baseball weekend far exceeds, like if these first couple of days are any indication, it far exceeds even last year's Super Regional, even the first Super Regional ever on campus. I mean, it's going to be the nuttiest of all nut houses this weekend.
So I took my dad to the second game last year against Coastal, and I think I spent like $800 on the two tickets, which seems ridiculous. Seems ridiculous. So I'm sure like the secondary market is going to be insane if it's sold out in a minute and a half.
Yeah. Well, what it was, there were pre-orders for season ticket holders, and they pre-ordered. So there weren't that many that went on sale in the first place to the general public. I think there may have only been like 100, which was the NCAA minimum that you had to offer for general public tickets. And they were gone in minutes. I mean, like play a song, any song, by the time that song's over, those tickets are gone.
I'm looking up ticket prices.
You're looking up secondary market ticket prices? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, people will pay, I'm sure. I'm sure people will pay $1,000 or $1,500 to get into, especially the first game.
General admission is $382 each.
Okay. So that's $800 or $700 right there. $700 to $800.
Yeah.
Did you see?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We finally got there. We've been talking about how crowds are like it took a while for the basketball crowd culture to come on with it. And I mean, it's there now all the way down to the secondary ticket prices. Did you see that Alabama's baseball coach? What a great idea. What a phenomenal, groundbreaking, innovative idea. Their baseball coach is paid for 500 student tickets to their super regional.
Wow.
How about that? What an idea.
That's awesome.
That's a crack marketing team over there to come up with that all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything about their other coaches buying tickets or anything like that, but how about that? What a move. I also haven't seen anything about whether the drink specials and hot dog specials will be back this weekend.
We need to do what we can to do that. We need to figure out a way to make that happen.
That's one of the crazy like microculture phenomenons that I have seen. We'll go crazy over $1.25 hot dogs and $2.50 beer.
Yeah.
Whatever works, awesome. Right? Whatever works. Okay. What kind of fan are you? I'd like to know in the comments. Are you a national championship or it doesn't matter type fan? Or are you something short of that? What made me think about this was thinking about some fan reactions to Friday's baseball game and Saturday's game, quite frankly.
When people were saying Butch Thompson should get fired?
Some stuff like that, some nonsense like that. But also, Auburn never rises to the moment. They never come through in the moment, ever. They never do this. They always fall short. That's just not true. It's just not true. We got another example of it tonight, by the way. Men's golf plays for a national championship. Do you not count that because it's men's golf?
I think several people would choose to not count that. Yeah.
Yeah. But they came through. They won the national title just 2 years ago. Got a great opportunity to do it again tonight. But to get there, they had to win two match play matches yesterday. They came through in a big moment.
Yeah.
But if you're the kind of fan who's like, no, they got to win the whole thing or else none of it counts. Like, how much does it count that Auburn is hosting a super regional? That they came all the way back and did what only 4% of teams do, which is lose the first game and come back and win the regional. Does that count for anything? Do the 7 SEC series wins count for anything? Or is it, nah, unless they get to Omaha, it doesn't matter? Are you still going to spit the same drivel about, oh, they never come through, this is what they always do? Are you going to do that nonsense?
Well, I think the type of fans that are going to say, oh, they always melt, like I think Auburn can make it to the national championship series. And if they lost in game three in that scenario, I think they'd still be like, typical Auburn.
Yeah.
Like nothing is good enough but a title for those types of fans.
But I'm just wondering
how many, what's the point? Because then, like, I mean, the odds of you being pleased, like, are so slim.
But I don't want to, this is going to sound really the opposite of what I just did. I don't want to shame that. I want to name it. Like, I want you to stand up and say, no, I'm that kind of fan. I'm angry. I don't enjoy sports unless my team has won
the
last game.
Yeah.
The last championship. Never pleased, because I'm fascinated by those kind of people. I'm also like genuinely, maybe you're the kind of person who holds yourself to that standard And if so, that's awesome. I bet you're a high functioning, like, that's amazing if you hold yourself to the same standard you hold your sports teams.
Sure.
But it just, I kind of want to bring that up, Zach, because you made this point, I guess, last week. There's so much to enjoy about the process, the ride, the journey of a season. There's some people waiting for football to start before they enjoy anything that's happening.
Yeah.
Why? Man, this staff's on a recruiting heater right now. Every time the head coach opens his mouth, there's stuff to get excited about. Basketball didn't do what we wanted it to do, but then it got in and won all the way up to the NIT championship. Like, there's so much to enjoy about all these processes. So I'm just curious how many of those fans we have that would raise your hand and admit, no, I'm that kind of fan. Like, if golf doesn't win today, not good enough. If it's not a championship,
typical Auburn.
Not, yeah. Yeah. How many of those, Auburn being Auburn, are actually out there? I want to know how slim a minority that is.
Yeah, or is it a minority? I'm not sure. It's a loud part of the fan base.
Sure.
It's a loud part of the fan base. And once again, to your point, like you said, you didn't want to shame it. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing. But I do wonder, I would wonder what that percentage is for sure.
Yeah. People have been all over Gabe Gross this year. All over. Auburn hit .296 in the regional. Their slugging percentage was .645.
But I say runs weren't the issue this weekend.
No.
Those first two games, it was pitching.
Yep.
You had to win a game 17-13. You're blaming the bats?
Right.
Interesting. Right. That's a take.
Because they had
like almost as positive a take as you gave me before we clicked record.
That's not really a hot take, though. You don't think? Do you?
No, I was making fun of it because you were saying it like it was a hot take.
No, it's not a hot take. Yeah.
Wow, Brad. Okay. What a take.
Yeah, really going out on a limb, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We can expose Brad's what he thought was a hot take in the post show as well. Yeah.
Good. That's all I got today.
All right. That'll do it for today's show.
It does. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for watching. However you consume the program, remember until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.